Bible friends, is up in a book that you're not over familiar with. Bible speaks, you know, and itself more precious than gold, than silver refined in the furnace seven times, you know. In other words, you know, refined to perfection. But then, of course, that's not a surprise to us, because well, it comes from the God who is perfect. And it's the Word of God that, you know, that we want to speak to you about this afternoon once again, and offer you a copy of the entire New Testament. It's offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. You'd like to have a copy, then please feel free to come and ask for one. It's offered to you freely. But we come to you with an open Bible. We want you to understand this. You know, people, they ask me questions. They ask me what I think about this, that, or the other. But you know, at the end of the day, it's my opinion. You know, what I think really is of no consequence at all. It's what God thinks. And especially so, of course, when it comes to eternal matters, when it comes to the matter, you know, of your soul and its salvation. So we want you to understand it's God's Word, the Bible that we are coming from, that we offer to you, and that we seek and try to explain to you. You can read for yourself these words that I speak this afternoon. You can read for yourself in God's Word, where we read, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth." You know, friends, there's nothing to be ashamed about in speaking, you know, about the things of God and about God Himself. You know, here we are, we stand under God's heaven, under His sunshine. You know, we enjoy all the wonderful benefits that God brings to us, health and strength, food and clothing. All of these things come from God. We stand upon His earth and we breathe His air. So what on earth would there be, I ask you, to be, reason would there be for being ashamed of the things of God, and especially the gospel, the good news that is concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the word gospel means. It means good news. And it's good news, of course, well, I guess maybe not for everyone. I maybe it would be good news, you know, if you saw yourself as well as God, you know, as God sees us. You know, we kind of live, you know, these lives, and we see ourselves through rose-tinted spectacles, you know. You look at yourself in the mirror, and you think, you know, you're the fairest of them all. You know, and what could anyone, how could anyone possibly, you know, take offense at you? How could God possibly, you know, have, you know, any offense towards someone like you? But you know, the mirror on the wall doesn't tell us the truth. The mirror on the wall, you know, it tells us the same lie every time we look into it, that we are the fairest of them all. But when you look into the mirror of God's Word, and you see yourself as well as God sees you, and of course you see a whole different thing altogether. You see a man, a woman that was created in the image of God, but you also see a man or woman in whom that image has been destroyed, has been marred. You see a man, you see a woman lost in sin, because you see the mirror on the wall, you only see the outward image, you know. All you see is the hairdo, the makeup, the clothes. But when you look into the mirror of God's law, there we see the inward part of us. There we see the heart. There we see the heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. That's each and every one of us born into this world. But as God says, we're born in sin, we're shaped in iniquity, each and every one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's God's testimony, that's God's indictment, that's God's description of each and every one of us without His Son, Jesus Christ. So you see the importance, you know, of seeing yourself as God sees you. You know, myself, when I was converted, when God saved me, that was one of the things, you know, that I have to testify. You know, when I came to God's Word, I began to see myself for the first time in the way that God saw me, as a sinner, lost and undone, and in need of Jesus Christ and the salvation that's to be found in Him. But you see, people, when you see yourself as God sees you, well, then you've got to acknowledge this is good news indeed. The gospel, I mean. Because the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the means by which, is the method by which God brings us out of that state of sin, out of the mess of sin, you know, out of a heart of sin. It's the means by which God changes and transforms a person's being, their character, and of course their eternal destiny, you know, which is so important. So I'm not ashamed, you know, this man Paul, who writes this chapter in the Bible, he says, I'm not ashamed because there's nothing to be ashamed of in the gospel. That's why. I'm not ashamed, he says, of the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. What is that good news? It's this, people. Hey, that Christ died for sinners, according to the Scriptures. Just as the Bible said, the Old Testament of the Bible, just as it predicted many, many hundreds and hundreds of years before, predicted that Jesus Christ would come, that He would be born of a virgin, that He would live a blameless life, that He would die on a cross. Just as the Bible, just as God predicted many hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born into this world, so it came to pass. And after the third day, He rose again from the dead, again just as the Bible, just as the Old Testament of the Bible said that He would. You see, this is fruit for your faith, people. You know, how can you trust in somebody? How can you trust in some religious person who makes some great claim, you know, about themselves and about somebody else, and it doesn't come to pass, it doesn't work out in the way that they said that it would? Well, of course, you can take that and you can throw it in the bin. It's worthless. It means nothing. But you see, when God speaks, when God makes a prediction, you see, it always comes to pass. And you can tell, you see, the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, predicted, prophesied, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before these events took place. They actually came to pass in just the way that God said that they would. So you can put your faith, you see. You can put your trust in what God has revealed in His Word, in the Bible, and particularly so in the Gospel. The good news concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. It's authentic, it's the truth, it's God's message of salvation, and it's the only way of salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No other name, the Bible says elsewhere, no other name under the entire canopy of heaven whereby a person might be saved, only through the name of God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other Savior. There is no other appointed, you see, to bring men to God. Only Jesus through His death and resurrection. What is the gospel? The gospel is this, friends. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ, you see, a person, Jesus Christ, the one who has claimed to be and demonstrated to be the Son of God by the power of his resurrection from the dead. It's not religion that you need, people. Religion doesn't do that. Religion doesn't save. Religion doesn't bring the life of God into a man or woman's soul. Religion doesn't bring the love of God into a man's soul. Religion doesn't liberate men and women from sin. You see, people, it's Jesus. It's a person that you need, not religion. It's not an instituted religion. The gospel is about God's Son, Jesus Christ. It is about what he did. You see, what did he do? He died. He died, people. He died on the Roman cross some 2,000 years ago. But he was dying, you see, not because he deserved to die. He was dying a death that was deserved to others. He was dying, you see, in the place of others. He had done no wrong. I find no fault in this man. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor who had him crucified, he testified, he said, I find no fault in this man. He was the blameless. He is the blameless. He is the spotless, sinless Son of God. And he died on the Roman cross 2,000 years ago. And you say, well, there were hundreds, thousands of men who died on Roman crosses 2,000 years ago. Of course there was. But only one who was the Son of God, only one who was the appointed Savior, only the one who was dying a death that he did not deserve to die, Jesus Christ the righteous. And on that cross, and in his death, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that you and I, that people like us, might be made the righteousness of God in him through faith in his name. So it's about a person, you see, Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about a person, you see, not a religion. And a relationship with that person, with God through that person, through Jesus Christ, his Son, who came into the world to save sinners. So you see, Christ died. That's the gospel. Who did he die for? He died for the ungodly. A young lady asked me the question. She says, what does it mean to be ungodly? It means to be unlike God. It means to be contrary to God in your nature and in your practice. That's why Jesus, you see, in another place, he says, you must be born again. Except a man is born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. You see, the new birth, to be born again, not as the religious man thinks, not to return to your mother's womb and be reborn, that is, in the natural sense, but to be reborn spiritually, to be born again from above, by the power, miraculous, supernatural power of God working upon a man or woman's heart and soul and changing their natures. Because here's the problem, friends. We've got sinful natures. It's not just the practice is bad. It's not just the words that are bad. It's not just the actions that are bad. It's not just the thoughts that are bad. It's our very natures. Maybe, perhaps, you've asked yourself the question, you know, in a quieter moment, you say to yourself, why did I do that? I knew it would get me into trouble. I knew it was wrong. I knew that it wasn't right, but I still did it. And what's more, I keep on doing the thing that's wrong. Why do I do that? It's because you've got this sinful nature in you that we all have, we're born with. Contrary to God, you see. Contrary to his character, his being, his holiness, his law, his word. Contrary to the gospel. Contrary to his Son. Contrary in every which way to God. That's what sin is. It's our very natures. Now, what man or woman is there amongst you here this afternoon who can change, who can transform their natures? In the Bible, God poses one or two questions to you. He says, can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Impossible with you. Impossible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. God, he asks the question, he says, can you change the spots on a leopard? And of course you say, no, of course you can't. That's his natural state and condition. It would take a miracle to change that. And of course it would. And your natural condition in sin and ungodliness, it would take a miracle to change, to transform your nature. And that's what you need, you see. Not religion, people. Not rules, not laws. They only condemn. God gave us His law. It's written down in His Word. But it was never given to save us. It was never given us so that we could try and try and try to keep them and try to be good. Have you ever noticed, friends, the harder that you try to be good, the worse it becomes. Because you just can't do it. You've got this sinful nature, a bias away from God, a hatred for God, and a hatred for His law. Those commandments of God were given, friends, to teach you what kind of a sinful person you and I both are. The law condemns us. The grace of God, you see, has appeared to all people, all kinds of people, all kinds of men and women. The grace of God, that's what we need. The grace of God in salvation. The grace of God in which a man or woman is reborn, born again, given a new nature, and given new desires, new hopes, given a desire for God, to love God, given the desire to obey God. But I tell you, people, no one ever did that. No one ever desired God. No one ever desired holiness. No one ever desired to keep God's law. No one ever desired God's Son until they were born again. You must, you see, you really, really must be born again. Preacher was asked on one occasion, he was asked the question, why do you keep saying you must be born again? And he answered, he said, because you must be. You must be. There's no other way a man can enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. So there's the gospel, people. Christ died for the ungodly, for those who are contrary to God in their nature, but also contrary to God in their practice. Because here's what the grace of God does. It trains us, it teaches us to live upright, to live godly lives, devoted to God in this present, in this wicked age in which we find ourselves. Oh, it's a wicked, wicked world, is it not? But you know, that's just as the Bible predicted that it would be in the last days. And God says it will wax worse and worse. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, says God. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before God brings it all to an end and brings in His judgment. So you see, people, it takes grace. It takes wisdom. It takes the gospel. It takes the power of God unto salvation to equip and train a man or woman to live a godly life in this wicked age in which we find ourselves today. But you see, it's grace. It's not the law of God. It's not religious rules. That won't do it. That won't change your nature or mine. That won't change our practice. But the almighty, powerful grace of God, that will. Oh, the grace, the kindness, the love, the compassion of God. Grace, you see, is the very opposite to what you deserve. You see, we all of us, we deserve punishment. We deserve to be, well, damned in hell, is how the Bible puts it. puts it, that's our, that would be our just desert, every single one of us. But in the gospel, God offers to us the very opposite to what we deserve. He offers us freedom. He offers us His love. He offers us His kindness, His compassion, His mercy. He offers us forgiveness. This is the heart of the gospel, friends. The forgiveness and the loving kindness of God that brings salvation, you see, to a man or woman and transforms and changes them from that ungodly state and brings them into a state of godliness, devoted, that is, to God. So you can understand why this man says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. What would anyone want to be ashamed of the gospel for? That changes lives. I could tell you, I could bring you here 10 men, yeah, who could stand here and testify how the grace of God and the gospel has transformed their lives completely and their destinies. Men who are drug addicts, men who are drunkards, women who are immoral. And the power of the gospel unto salvation has changed all that. Now, can you bring me 10 atheists? Can you bring me 10 godless, evolutionary, living men and women who can stand here and testify how that evolution has changed their lives and brought them new hope and given them new life and given them forgiveness? I defy you to be able to do so. Only the gospel, only my gospel, only the gospel of my Savior, only the good news of Jesus Christ can do that. And that's what we're here to declare to you today. Not religion, people. Not religion. Religion kills and destroys. It maims and slaughters all over your world. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? What's it take, people, to open England's eyes? To see that every religion outside of the gospel, every religion outside of the Bible's religion, people, is damnable religion. It doesn't save, it destroys. And at the end of it, people, you die and death hurries you, rushes you into hell. That's the end of the ungodly. That's the end of the impenitent. That's the end of those who reject the gospel of God, who reject the grace of God. Think of it, people. How God offers you salvation. Oh, I beseech you on behalf of Jesus Christ this afternoon, be reconciled to God. And the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. That, people, that's what you need. That's what you need, salvation, and that's what the Bible's about from start to finish, beginning to end. Not about religion, it's about salvation. It's about God's eternal, everlasting plan to send His Son into the world that through Him, men and women might be saved from the ravages, the terrible ravages of sin. You see, that's what the Bible's about. The Old Testament tells you of God preparing the way for the coming of His Son. The New Testament tells you of how He came and how He lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead in order that this salvation might be yours. Salvation, people, not destruction. Muhammad is the prophet of the sword. Jesus Christ told His disciples, put up thy sword. We do not seek to conquer the world with the sword. We seek to conquer the world that has already been conquered by King Jesus, by the proclamation of the gospel, the good news that is for all men. All men who will believe, that is. The power, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. For everyone? No. For everyone who's religious? No. For everyone that believeth, faith, people. A man or woman is justified before God by faith. by your good works. Not by your good works, whether they be done in the name of religion or secularism. It matters not. There's nothing that you can do, because there is nothing that you can offer to God that is not tainted with sin. You've got nothing to offer to God. You cannot make yourself righteous. You cannot make yourself good. You cannot make yourself fit for God and fit for heaven. Only the gospel, only the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, can do that, accomplish that for you. Only faith in His name, only believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is God's command to you this afternoon with a promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God's promise, God's command with a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, shall be saved. Salvation, people, calling in faith upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved, 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 people, from the penalty of sin. Its wages are still death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here again this afternoon. Saved from the penalty of sin, saved from the power of sin, in the grip of sin, habitual sin. You know, the habits, ingrained habits, the addictions that you have, locked into them, you know? The drugs and the booze, the gossiping and the hatred and the unforgiveness. Oh, people, the list just goes on and on. Men entrapped, men captivated, held prisoner by sin. But those chains can be broken. You can be set free. You can be liberated by the power of the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not happen be, but shall be saved. The power of the gospel, it's dynamite, people. Dynamite. Blow you out of your sinful natures and into a godly nature, into the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, seek, friends, seek. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Salvation, people, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, I implore you, as surely as I live, saith the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn, He says. Turn before you burn. Turn. Why will ye die when there's a Savior, when there's salvation, when there's eternal life to be had in Jesus? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Come, friends, today is the day. Now is the time, says God. Now is the time. Not tomorrow, not today, not this very hour. I beseech you, I implore you, this very hour, be reconciled to God. You say, I'll think about it when I get home. What if you don't get home? I'll think about it next week. What if God doesn't give you next week? I'll think about it when I'm a little bit older, you say. What if you don't get to be a little bit older? Now is the time, says God. The time is short, friends. Oh, the time is short and you don't know how, be reconciled to God. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Come today, people. Come unto me, says Jesus, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, people, I implore you, be reconciled to Almighty God through the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. You would like to have a copy of God's word and check these things out for yourself? Copy of the New Testament is offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to